Hey everybody, and welcome to Naruto Rebuto, a Naruto rewatch podcast. My name is Kim, and I'm joined today by Jesse.
I'm Jesse, your resident panic test taker.
Hell yeah. And Tim.
Hey everybody, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Always. It's always a pleasure, Tim.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be here. Wow. I feel like this is not the, is this the first episode that we've recorded since we've released? No, that's not true. Is it?
No, it is.
We recorded one after announcing, but this might be the first.
Yes. This is the first one after officially releasing the first episode, and now we're on three episodes. So yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Everyone's been so nice. I mean, obviously, what we said last time I recorded, you guys were nice based on the teaser. But as of this point, it's been so nice, and it means a lot. Thank you so much.
So nice. Everyone has said just like really nice things, and I want you to know I treasure them all in my heart. It literally means the entire world to me. Thank you.
Sometimes I go on iTunes and just read the nice reviews to feel good about myself.
Do we have reviews on iTunes?
We do.
Yeah, we do. Nice. We have like a couple.
They're so
damn
good. It's sweet. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. I'll say it at the top. Reviewing podcasts is the best and easiest way to help them grow their sphere of influence. The best way is to strap your friends down and make them listen. But besides that, like, reviewing is so, so, so important. If you haven't listened to Greetings Adventures podcast, basically the only reason that, not the only reason, but the reason why the Greetings Adventures is able to pay their collective rents from podcasting is because you beautiful people have reviewed that show. So it means so much to us.
It do.
Yes, and it, and most importantly, it helps our self-esteem.
So much. So much. As a people pleaser through and through. Oh.
Yes. Yes. I'm just incredibly vain. Just kidding, kind of. So let's go ahead and do some Naruto facts. So this time around, I wanted to start on our voice actors. So I'm going to start out with doing some Japanese voice actors.
Yay!
So Naruto in the Japanese original is voiced by Junko Takeuchi. She got her start first as a stage actor, but made her voice acting debut in 1997. And her Her Wikipedia page is really cute because it talks about, like, her getting married and having three cats. And I'm very glad that Naruto's is living well.
Yes!
Some of her other roles include Gon from the 1999 Hunter x Hunter series, Dieter in Monster, which if you have never read or seen, please do. It's like Chekhov, but anime. Gomomon in Digimon, to go in the complete opposite direction. As well as Takuya Kanbara in Digimon Frontier, Mokubo Kaiba in Yu-Gi-Oh!, a.k.a. Seto Kaiba's shitty little brother.
Okay.
Young Sabo in One Piece, Croy Merides in Little Witch Academia, who's apparently the baddie, Hapu in the Pokemon Sun and Moon anime, Red in Pokemon Oranges, and she still voices Naruto to this day. Also, she does the voice of Akamaru, which is Kiba's dog in Naruto, which is really cute. So every time you hear it bark, that's her.
Wow, she has some really big roles. Also, I think about this all the time, but like the voice actors for Naruto, both English and Japanese, like talk about just cashing out and just getting the fattest check ever. Like, hell yes.
Like, they're all still doing the voices. Mm-hmm. Like, you'd expect Naruto to sound different once he grew up. He does not. Even though he looks like a dilf, like, he sounds like a baby.
Oh, wait, is Boruto's dad? I kind of want to look up Boruto's dad clips real quick.
Oh yes.
I hear that Hunter x Hunter is the best shit, and I need to watch it.
Yes, I think your lovely wife is a fan.
She just popped in. Jennifer, say watch Hunter x Hunter. Say hello to everyone.
It's watch Hunter x Hunter. All it's right. Good.
But also say Naruto Rebuto is my favorite anime podcast after Transformation Sequence.
Yes. I can't remember that.
All right, cool, bye.
I relate.
She didn't want to lie to me. I respect that.
Jennifer did not know that she was doing a callback to Jesse being stressed out.
Yeah. Oh my god.
So Sasuke is voiced by Noriaki Sugiyama. He worked part-time at a gaming company before becoming a voice actor, which I think is a very fun way to get into it.
That is so fitting. Are you kidding me? Sasuke's right? a gamer I'm a through gamer. And through.
Sasuke is, like, he has a Joker avatar oh my God. On Steam.
Yeah, definitely an XX69420, like,
yes, yes.
countenance.
Exactly. Some of his other roles include England from the Hetalia series, Shiro Imiya from the various Fate series and games, William T. Spears from Black Butler, Uryu Ishida from Bleach, who's the Quincy guy, who I liked and thought should have ended up with the big titty girl. I'm going to fuck up this name. Bruno Bucciarati from various JoJo games, Ryo Shimazaki from Mob Psycho 100, Akio from all the Nor 9 Otome games, hey, and finally, he is the official Japanese dub voice of Stinky Peterson from Hey Arnold.
Oh my God.
two okay. questions. Are we to assume that he doesn't voice Bruno in the anime JoJo?
He doesn't. Just okay. the games.
Cool.
Just like two specific games. Okay. I double checked that because I was like, surely it's not that, but it is.
Oh, interesting. And I know that you too are a person of culture and you've probably seen the weird, not weird, nothing's weird really, the intense Japanese fandom of King of the Hill and the art. Yes. And the arguments of sub versus dub there. Oh I hope that you can incorporate Hoomst. Hoomst is a Boomhauer. Hoomst is a Bobby.
and, oh, yeah.
Who, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He also does Japanese dubs for Phineas and Ferb and Ferb
Stop!
And Benton. So, like.
No, this is good.
Fucking Hoomst hate. I love it.
Yes.
Yeah. Voice of Sasuke in Phineas and Ferb. So
who's Stinky Peterson? I'm gonna Google it. Don't tell me.
Oh, he was a dude with like the hair that just like goes up, and he had big ears. He was kind of like, "Hey."
Oh, yeah.
Didn't
like
he have a southern accent?
Hey, man, I'm Stinky Peterson.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that's the voice actor facts I have for this episode because. These episodes about to get intense.
y'all want to meet 87,000?
We got characters? New characters today.
So I watched these six episodes because we record two episodes of Naruto Revuelto, two chapters, if you will, back to back. So I watched all six of the Naruto episodes last week, which was Americans Super Tuesday, or as some of us call Shitty Tuesday. So that's why we took a week off because we were like glum. So we're like, you know what? We are 30 episodes ahead of our release schedule, we're allowed to take a mental break. That being said, yes. I don't. These are all going to kind of blend together. I feel broadly, so much happens in these episodes. Like this feels like we're past the pilot zone in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And also, since I edit the podcast, my brain is sort of weirdly stuck in the first time they beat Zabuza facts of how it compares to that. So it is that whole thing of there was like a big point of who knows how many episodes of Naruto season one are the pilot. I feel like where we are right now, it's not the pilot. I think we're in it now.
Yeah. Yes. I agree. I think the minute the Zabuza arc ends and the minute the Chunin arc begins, we are officially done with pilot season. It's into season one of Naruto.
Finally, after 20 some odd episodes. Yes.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready to get fucked up on some shonen Naruto business?
I am.
I want to grind it up and just snort it up my little greedy nose.
Look at you. You're shoving things in your nose right now. From your nose. Oh, my God.
So let's go ahead and dive into it then. Episode 22, Chunin Challenge, Rock Lee versus Sasuke. Sakura grabs the boys by the hand and drags them off towards the testing room like a frazzled mom who just wants her kids to behave for 30 fucking minutes so she can go to the grocery store.
True.
That is who she is.
It's true,
these two children. Neji thinks about the immense fight boner he has for Sasuke, and Rock Lee says he has something to do right quick before they head to the test.
Who's Neji?
Let's talk Neji. About Neji! Neji is... I know I said I have like a glob of characters for the second one, but he is top of the glob, okay? He's probably my actual second favorite character. I just love him so much. I love how ruthless he is and how talented he is.
He's milky-eyed boy.
Another milky-eyed boy, yes.
Beautiful hair.
Long hair in men is always like a big, big plus for me. It's good.
Amen, sister.
I love it. Yes.
So Neji is part of the crew. Is it Neji with Rock Lee and what's her nuts?
Ten-ten.
Cool. Yes. Yeah. No.
Like the knockoff Pokemon game.
They're team 8, right?
I actually don't remember.
Okay, hold up.
Well, they're from a different village. Do they still have team
names?
No,
they're from the Leaf Village.
Yeah.
They are?
They're just older.
Oh, they're older.
Yeah, they're a year older than the rest of our little dipshits.
Can you hear this? I got myself a Leaf Village bandana. Or what do they call them? Headbands?
Team 9. I'm sorry.
So does everyone who lives in the Leaf Village have that? And is every... Does everyone who's have headband, is there an apartment inside the Leaf Village, or are there other satellite campuses?
They're inside the Leaf Village. They might not have a apartment, though. They could have a estate or house or...
I guess what I'm saying is, like, if it felt to me as if Naruto and the gang didn't know who these people were. Is that a correct interpretation, do you think? Or am I...
Yes. I don't think they would have known about them. It's kind of like it's like if you went to high school and you're a freshman and the year before graduated, you know?
Yes.
Okay.
So, like, you have not seen them because you actually never went to school with them, and they already graduated.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And, like, they're off doing their own little missions and, like, running around with Guy.
I love Guy. Guy's
with good.
Guy's a fucking champion.
All right, got it. Thank you.
What does Rock Lee have to do before he hits the test? Does he have to take a nervous shit? An anxious pee? No, he just wants to beat the shit out of Sasuke.
I wish I had this kind of energy.
Just like a teaspoon of it would do.
Sure. Just like 30 minutes before this life-changing test to literally get a promotion, and you're just ready to beat ass of another dude that's also taking the same exact class 30 minutes before the test.
Yeah, and you know in the test that you're going to have to fight against him.
Yes!
But why do you want to do it right now, bud?
And it's against the rules for to fight. Yes! You know, it's like, if it wasn't, you know... It's set up as an extremely important thing, and we find out later they chose not to take it the year before. But it's this, like, why are you being so risky, Rock Lee? Your haircut does not, you know, make us assume you're risky.
It's the most efficient haircut, Tim.
It really is.
So can I ask you guys a question? I feel like they're putting secret messages inside the shininess of Rock Lee's hair. And I'm not necessarily saying that it's like telling me to kill my family, but like I keep thinking it spells like ninja or nee.
So I was on the Naruto Reddit a few days ago and I did see someone take a screen cap of Rock Lee's hair and it literally spelled out ninja. So
I knew it. I am God.
He's that powerful. It's good. So, Rock Lee jumps down and shoots some powerful kissy beams at Sakura, who has a nervous breakdown.
Oh, yes. This is, I would say, the second most well-known Naruto gif throughout the internet.
Is this where he shoots the beams, the kissy parts?
Yep.
This caught me so off guard. Like, I love Rock Lee, knowing almost nothing about him, but his chaotic energy from the get-go makes me like him more, but not in the way that I thought. And him shooting the beams at Sakura and then her like trying to dodge it. It's so much. It's so much happening right now.
She's so mean to him too. She's like, your lower eyelashes are fucking disgusting. Get your eyebrows away from me.
You're so mean.
You fucking degenerate.
The way she like dodges the hearts is so over the top.
Yeah. But he will not be dissuaded.
Yeah.
He still loves her with his whole little heart.
It is nice because now the show has a total of two good voice actors, Sakura and Rock Lee. I wonder, I kind of do want to watch an episode or two of Rock Lee in the Japanese version because his English is such a choice and it's such a treat and it's good.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's funny, I was watching it the other day and realizing that he only gets even more wackier with his voice as he goes on.
Really?
Yeah. Like, this is tame Rock Lee currently.
Oh,
and it's
my
just
God,
gonna
this,
like amplify later on.
This is clown shit from what I'm seeing. That rules. I'm so excited.
Like, this is Rock Lee at a one.
No! What the seriously? Okay. Holy shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like Rock Lee because I saw like one his outfit's cool because it's simple. It seems like he does yes. a lot of, you know, punch and fight as opposed to like shoot fireballs. I don't know that for a fact.
Yeah.
And then I saw like a commercial where it was maybe hit at, like a side anime or something like that, or a game. And he was a spaceship and the spaceship was his face maybe. Okay. And that was very confusing for me, but I kind of dug his whole deal.
Okay.
I don't think I'm making that up.
There is a spinoff series called Rock Lee and his Ninja Pals. That's probably
right.
where you saw that.
Ooh, all right. So when we get pretty farther in, we can do Patreon only content.
Yes,
Rockley.
That's a great idea. Lee keeps yelling "Wumpy-wumpy, bro!" until Sasuke agrees. Naruto tries to attack him instead because he's tired of being underestimated, but gets absolutely dunked straight into the trash can, just fully bodied, heart and soul.
Naruto got so fully wrecked.
Yeah.
Which is like, I love how they zoomed in on Rock Lee's hand too. It was just like one simple movement
yes.
and Naruto's out.
They didn't even need to go to Sakuga to have Rock Lee fuck up Naruto. Are we supposed to assume that Rock Lee could have just bodied Haku?
That's what I was thinking.
Probably. Ooh, probably. I never thought about that, to be honest, but yeah, probably, right?
Maybe.
Because he's fast as fuck. He's strong as fuck. He's a beautiful man.
I love him.
I bet he could have gone toe-to-toe. I don't know. I don't know. Play the video game and one person pick Haku, one person pick Rock Lee.
I'm Googling Rock Lee right now. I sure hope I don't get spoiled. Well, look at him. Whoa, look at him.
Oh my God.
He's just the fucking best. Rock Lee, the strongest Leaf Ginnin. He's an absolute fucking monster and kicks Sasuke right into the Shadow Realm. Sasuke smugly breaks out the old Sharingan, but Rock Lee isn't using chakra to attack, only taijutsu. Sasuke gets shitted on.
I love that moment too, where Sasuke's like, what the fuck magic is he doing? Like, what could this be? And then Rock Lee's like, it's raw strength, baby.
He's like, I'm just a fucking psychopath. I'm a monster. I can snap your little frail neck.
While you were studying the magic, I was studying the other thing.
Because, Sasuke's just like, oh, I can't beat him right now, but as soon as I pull out my Sharingan, I will. Oh, God. Oh, no. He's killing me.
Yes.
Even Sakura's just like, oh, shit.
Yeah, totally.
And this is when he says, just like, yeah, I am your worst type matchup because you cannot predict me. I am faster than you and I cannot run you.
Truly, though, Rock Lee was like, I'm faster than you. I'm stronger than you. I'm tougher than you. I'm better than you and you're gonna lose.
Like, have you seen those Tumblr posts about how humans are terrifying because we are built for endurance? And so, like, when we used to, like, chase down animals, how terrifying it is because we, like, the Terminator just keep catching
right.
up mm-hmm. and slowly coming mm-hmm. after them. That's fucking Rock Lee.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's the fucking Terminator. He will never let up.
Right. The ability to sweat really gave humans the advantage on a lot of animals.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our lungs, too, if you think about it.
Yeah.
I think that Rock Lee, whatever taijutsu is, and I forget if these six episodes, mostly these three, if they explain all, like, they kind of go into it a little bit, but, like, I'm quite horned up to find out what the fuck this means and if our reject squad 7 gets some taijutsu up in their shit, because I know sometimes they have to do things for the audience where it makes it seem like, why the fuck does Naruto not know this? Like, oh, that's right, Naruto is an idiot and he forgot the word chakra. But also on top of that, sometimes, you know, I'm kind of going back and forth of, like, what is their training? How do they know how to read and things like that versus, like, you know, do they have, like, a bevy of things? I don't know.
Yeah. So they do explain it. Taijutsu is hand-to-hand combat. It's no magic. It's just, like, martial arts.
Gotcha. So I thought it was martial arts, and then the way they – when I heard jutsu, I thought maybe he was
– they just like to
using chakra to enhance his
– they do use chakra a teeny bit in taijutsu. It's like adrenaline.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't understand why – I guess if you're not doing a jutsu, but you're using jutsu for – like, so the Sharingan can't track you because you're not being like, all right, punch jutsu, go. It's just like, oh, I'm using my chakra to fuel my punches as opposed to, you know, doing everything. That makes sense.
Well, Sasuke could see what was happening. Like, he could see how fast Rock Lee was moving, but, like, his body just literally could not keep up because he wasn't strong enough.
Bro. Yeah. He just fucking bounces around him like Sonic the damn Hedgehog. Chili dogs. Anyway, Rock Lee does the teleports behind you jutsu and begins to wrap Sasuke up in his arm bandages while midair. Jesus. They are suddenly interrupted by a pinwheel-wielding giant turtle who tells Lee to cut it the fuck out. Sasuke is furious that he lost to a guy in a unitard.
This is a great moment for so many reasons. Yeah. I love the chaotic energy of the turtle being the one to stop the fight. And then I love Team 7 just, like, eternally in a, like, spinning cycle of what the fuck is going on right now.
Because Naruto wakes up and is just like, oh shit, Sasuke lost? Sasuke got dunked on? And then he looks over and sees Rock Lee talking to a turtle and he's like, he's totally getting scolded right now. Like, he's totally getting yelled at by a turtle.
Turtle can be sensei too.
Yeah. Oh my god.
It's good Squad 7 is also in on how confusing and strange this is. Because that doesn't happen every time.
Like, the sudden vibe change is very good. They were so serious before this, and now they're just like, oh, he's just an idiot. Oh, he's just dumb. He's a simple boy. Suddenly, Lee's teacher, Might Guy, appears, posing like a guy who knows exactly what he's doing on top of the turtle. He's God's perfect son, the proto-himbo from whose manly pap all himbos are nursed. Jesus. Cringe culture is dead, and Might Guy has killed it.
The one and only Might Guy.
Yes.
Wait.
God, even his name is, like, cool.
His name's Might Guy?
Yes. His name's Might Guy.
If I was a better creator, I would have gone off on a very classic Tim Scream or something on Might Guy, but you know what? Cool.
Like, his parents must have known that he was going to be the ultimate like ninja in order to name him Might Guy. You can't just name somebody that.
I love Guy Sensei so much, and I know it's paired into how much I love Rock Lee, but their whole situation here, holy fuck, it's so delicious. I would like to drink it.
Oh yeah, their relationship dynamic is such a treat in so many ways of just like this wonderful whiplash of he punches Rock Lee in the fucking face to is that holding him and crying.
Yeah, like, obvi- obviously they will use, you know, a little bit of harsh punishment, but just the strange chaotic energy of the two, and when Might, I didn't know if it was Might, when Guy punches Rock Lee in the face, you're just like, what the fuck is that? It's such a chaotic episode.
Yes.
Especially because he just shows up in a puff of smoke, yes, posing like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's very abstract. Dramatic. It's dancerly. Yeah. And then he just fucking punches.
He's the only one that's ever done this. So is the turtle talking, or was that Guy?
The turtle's talking. Because it announces him. He's just like, and here he comes, my guy.
Wow. It's shit. Okay. It's shit like this that I'm glad we're doing a podcast, because I feel like I have bone spurs just thinking about these things.
There's like so much to take in within literally 7 minutes of this episode.
Oh my god. Yeah, Jesus fucking Christ. All of our episodes are all going to be an hour and 72 minutes. Like, there's no way around it. Usually when I do a podcast, I like to have but one drink. But for this, I just feel like I gotta power through, and I'm out of mixers. So I'm just going to be like drinking vodka mixed with gin and like dying.
Also, let us not neglect to talk about what Mike Guy looks like and what Lee looks like. Who would like to describe these two elegant beasts?
Tim, as you are big fans of them, would you like to take this one?
Well, they have huge eyebrows. They have bowl cuts. They kind of have a Bruce Lee vibe, but
yes.
I guess, and not kind of, horrifically. Yeah. Replace Bruce Lee's iconic yellow jumpsuit with kind of a more boring green, and that's what you get with these two. Fuck, yeah, man. We were praising the quote-unquote costuming of how you see Kakashi, and like how he's like, it's kind of subdued, but it kind of makes sense too, yada, yada, yada. He has pockets for scrolls and these things like that. These boys are just... I don't know. I can't tell. So, Jesse, I know that you are a fan of Bon Appetit. Kim, do you sup upon Bon Appetit?
Oh, absolutely.
So one of the things is reconciling New York City fashion with us gutter living slobs. When you see the person that all of us would die for, Claire, wearing an orange jumpsuit, or Emile or a Delaney wearing strange jumpsuits. So I feel like after consuming so much Bon Appetit and the New York culture, I'm trying to approach the simplicity of, if Claire, who everyone on the planet that knows her would die for, can wear an all somewhat like tangerine orange jumpsuit and it's fine. Therefore, Guy and Rock Lee can wear their green situation.
Oh my god. Yes.
It's like a morph suit. They're wearing like a morph suit with leg warmers. Yep. And they're, okay, their headbands are around their waist.
Yes.
Like a belt. What is wrong with them?
Oh my god. Oh my god. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see my like sanity just slipping as the more and more strange headband incorporation. I'm sure that I'm just gonna go throw. There's gonna be a fanny pack where like they put stuff in it. There's gonna be like a cell phone charm one. There's gonna be what else? A bracelet. There's gonna be a footy thing. Maybe there's gonna be a foot thing. There's gonna be a belt, but it's gonna be on a crop top, so it's gonna cover the belly button. And there's gonna be abs above and beneath it. I'm sure.
Are you listening? This is a costume. For you.
I'm sure that I can't even predict the insanity that the headbands would be.
Going back to what you said, Bruce Lee, Rock Lee, and Mike Guy are all, they're direct references to Bruce Lee. Like, they are fully, their inspiration is 100% pulled from Bruce Lee, down to the animators taking literal Bruce Lee moves and incorporating them into Rock Lee's portfolio specifically. For their outfit, while ugly, it is still utilitarian.
I feel like that's going to be a phrase said often. It doesn't make sense that there's spikes and chain mails and her one titty out. That being said, it makes sense.
since they specialize in taijutsu, the jumpsuit gives them full mobility for all of their limbs to be able to fight in any capacity.
Aerodynamic. Also, having one titty out gives you a tactical advantage.
Yes.
That's so true. I guess in the world where we know that both that Naruto and I believe Sasuke as well have the chainmail beneath them, they're taking a theoretical movement penalty, and these two savage motherfuckers are like, nah. Yeah. I simply will not get hit.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I am so excited. I think next episode we're going to catch up to, or next chunk of episodes, so not whatever chapter of Naruto Naruto this is, and not the next one, but the one, the next two after that, I think I will be caught up to what I watched last time, and I stopped right before Rock Lee was about to let motherfuckers know what's good.
Yes! Oh, so exciting.
Yeah.
Bananas that you stopped right before that, but...
I can't remember if I said this before we started recording or if I'm just repeating something I said 8 minutes ago, but I said before we started recording because I got weirdly bored because they're throwing so much at you during the Chunin exam.
Yeah, that's
and
fair.
It's deep in the... There are so many rules, but half the rules don't make sense, and they change them. And some of the rules specifically are interesting because they are introducing them at minute 14 and then flipping it at minute 16. So I think that it was cool, and you know they got to show different types of characters with new powers, but it was that sort of joke I said in an earlier episode referencing the hit book series Twilight, where they talk about, oh, everyone who has a power in the vampire world is special.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then by the end, oh, everyone has a vampire power. And that's the Kekkei Genkai, you said?
Kekkei Genkai.
So I feel like, you know, in these episodes and the next episodes, we enter the zone of every single person has something like that. And, you know, it's not a big deal. It's just when you're watching it the first time, it can be... I remember it being a bit much. So I think that I am very thankful that Jesse had the idea of doing this podcast without anyone else's prodding, I would say, and getting us here. It is very much the same way that I consumed Game of Thrones, which is kind of funny because Game of Thrones is needlessly complicated. And, you know, this is just kind of just like shonen. I don't want to say shonen bullshit because I don't want us to talk shit about Naruto, especially since I almost cried last recording session. So, you know, I don't want it to be that situation, but it's like, you know, there's some tropes going on and things like that. Yeah. So this podcast is for me and not for the listeners, because I'm enjoying Naruto so much more now.
I would say shonen bullshit can be said lovingly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it is, shonen bullshit. Mm. And So I just had an image in my brain, because Guy and Rock Lee are dressed like father son, like they look the same. I want someone to draw fan art where it's just like them, but they're getting their picture taken at like a mall studio, like father and son portraits.
Okay,
just like,
this is a good point. That's not his father.
No, it's not his dad.
Okay, so me, Kim, and Jesse are Team 69, right? We go in for our thing, and then we look over. And Kim is dressed exactly like our mystical teacher that walks in. Me and Jesse, we gotta look at each other and be like, what the fuck? Rock, you fucking dick. You bitch. Why are you doing this? Like, it'd be as if, like, Sakura just started dressing as Kakashi.
Yes!
We're just like, you asshole! We look like dicks because of you.
And like intentionally grew his eyebrows out.
Fuck so you!
Also have incredible power brows.
No, no, I didn't hear that. That can't be true. I reject you.
Purposely got a bowl cut to also reflect Guy's hairstyle.
I googled Rock Lee earlier because I love him so much, and I saw him in different outfits and different haircuts, and I was like, not for me, but also, girl, it works for you. Oh, I cannot. Yeah, I like to approach podcasting from a selfish standpoint because, you know, if you're having fun, then theoretically the audience is having fun. But now I'm getting into the negative zone. I'm just like, keep feeding me the mashed potatoes that is Rock Lee lore.
Yes. So Lee and Guy go off to train together after, like you said, he punches Lee, and then they have a manly cry, and there's a sunset in the background.
Neji and Tintin are just like, all right, I guess. She has to go to the mirror store, so she has to.
Also, Guy says to Rack Lee, run and suffer, and that is my new motto for enemy.
But with tears streaming down your eyes.
Like happy, proud tears. Yes. Like he watched him graduate from college. Like,
goddamn, he's crying. I know what I should have done. As my brother-in-law graduated college last year from App State. Go Apps! And I would have been so funny. He's like a foot taller than me. If I would have just punched the fuck out of him when he walked down. But talking about Rock Lee, I take a drink each time I say that. His hand wraps. They're setting. I don't know what they are. I've seen the gif of him fighting, I believe, Red Hair Boy in the future, where he takes them off and they explode on the ground in a Vegeta sort of Saiyan weighted armor or weighted clothing vibe. But I have no idea what's beneath them. So I'm like, are they scars? Are they tattoos that can be? Is this going to be another like form of jutsu of like, oh, you have tattoo jutsu now, like whatever.
I will say we get a little glimpse of his hands as he goes to like wrap them back up again, and Naruto notices and he's just like, Sasuke, do you know the reason why you couldn't beat that dude? It's because he works harder than us. He has punched and punched and has never stopped punching. Yes. His knuckles are a mess. So they're about to go off and train together, and Sakura's just like, y'all forgot about the Chunin exam? And they're like, oh shit, right.
Oh my god.
I wish I could forget about my problems like this. Are you fucking kidding me?
They're so single-minded and so earnest. Like, I have a big weak spot just in my heart for earnest people.
Yeah.
And they are the most.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're so good. Guy is Kakashi's self-proclaimed rival. The kids all underestimate this paragon of men to their peril. He basically teleports behind them and is just like, out of consideration to this pleasant face, talking about himself, forgive my pupil. And it's just like, but that's not how you go about saying that.
Oh my god.
He's not creepy towards Sakura, but he's also like talking as though all creatures, big and small, want to or find him to be the perfect specimen. Yeah. Which I respect. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's me, but you know.
He is like if All Might was just incredibly stupid.
Oh yeah, that's good.
That's him. Boop, 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 boop. Sasuke continues to lose his shit because people stronger than himself exist. Rock Lee says, JK, also, by the way, I'm not the strongest Genin. It's Neji, the milk-eyed man, and I want to defeat him too.
Really? I missed that. Holy shit.
Yeah. He's just like, I was lying. Sorry about that. Wanted to gauge how tough you are because I want to kill Neji. I want to snap his neck. I want to hunt him down for sport.
And Neji is his Naruto?
No.
Yes.
Well.
Okay. Neji's his Sasuke, and in this instance, yes. Rock Lee is Naruto.
Yeah, there we go.
Naruto dunks on Sasuke, even though he too got fully destroyed by Rock Lee, and says, damn, Lee must have trained a shit ton, and then Sasuke gets his groove back.
Yes. I love the burn of like, oh, by the way, I actually didn't give a shit about you. I just wanted to train to beat this other guy that I actually have the main mission for.
Yeah, because he saw his boyfriend Neji looking at another guy, so he's got to go prove he's better.
Yes.
Any last thoughts about this episode before we move on?
Do love how fast Sasuke flips a switch from being extremely petty loser to, actually, I'm excited about this now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That rules. This was from transitioning from the intro episodes to the Chunin exam. This felt so I'm trying to find the right word. It, not out of place, but it was like in a good way. It felt like a side quest in a video game that was very good while the world was ending. It's like, "Oh, it's strange that we just had such an awesome moment." Or, you know, with introducing new characters and things like that. Meanwhile, I'm supposed to be finding the artifact of bullshit to do this. So it's like, and it's also funny because Sakura keeps mentioning it of like, wait, you can't do all these laps around the village because you have to go take the test. So she was the chorus, so to speak. But yeah, no, in this episode was so fast in a good way.
Yeah.
Where it was like, it's over already, because it's like, oh, it's just the fight and it's done. And but it was good. Mm-hmm. So all those things I just said were positive in my brain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sakura is also truly the mom friend.
Right?
The only one who's like, but we have a test. Everyone else, no, the test does not matter, actually.
Yeah, because Sakura's like, we have to finish registering in 30 minutes, so come on, yep. Boys, keep moving. But Sasuke's like, this fight won't even take 5 minutes, and she just sort of sighs and like sits back. Episode 23, Ginnon Takedown, all 9 rookies face off.
Oh, I'm sorry. We were gonna graduate Tim, and we forgot.
Oh, shit!
Sorry, the word getting just like, oh, boom, there it is. Okay.
Well, I mean, graduate to a Ginning, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yes.
So we have baby Tim. Mm-hmm. Since we've made it through the pilot season of Naruto,
oh my God.
Tim has graduated from his local Leaf Village school academy, and he is now a Ginning.
Yay! Yeah, you do have the headband now. I'm putting
my, it's official. My headband on now that I bought off Amazon.com. I went with the blue one, the light blue one, and when I was buying it, I was joking with y'all. I was like, are these Amazon description spoilers? What the fuck is an anti-Leaf Village? Like, why is this one darker? And then I Googled it, and I was like, why does Naruto have a darker one in the future? And they're like, I don't want to know. It's fine. It's
fine. It's fine. Spoilers. Naruto goes goth. He's goth in the future.
Yes.
So, episode 23. Oh, we're all crying, by the way, like Mike Guy. We're very proud of you.
Thank you. No, it's been a tough road, but I feel ready. I feel overly confident. I feel excited about walking into a room of strangers and screaming at them and saying I'm going to kick their asses and things like that. So perfect. It's going to be good for me.
It's good. You're probably going to be a Ginning for a long fucking time too, so stop it.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah. I mean, I think we want the way that I see my growth is being a little bit behind Naruto and gang. So whenever they become Chunin, a little bit after that, I can become Chunin as well if I pass.
Yeah.
We're going to make you take a test.
Yeah, what is the test to make Tim pass?
Oh my God, that'd be fun.
Jesse's going to peer pressure you while you have to take a pen and paper.
I'm a good test taker. I'm ready.
I'm going to show you my weird scars to make it even worse. Episode 23. Kakashi shows up and says, glad you didn't pussy out, Sakura, because I lied about the test rules. Only teams of 3 can take the exam.
I did love this, though. I actually really love that Kakashi lied and made it like, Sakura, you actually have to make your own decision on this. You can't just go because you're crushing on Sasuke. Like, you have to make your own decision. And like, yeah, he did force his hand, but I like it.
Yeah, because he's just like, if I had told you it was only groups of 3, Naruto and Sasuke would have hounded you forever and really wouldn't have been your choice. So
yeah, this
is a fair way to do it.
My notes are Miss taking notes for half the ep because of potato.
Okay, all right.
We've been eating a lot of baked potatoes in the Cheek Landing household. So I was watching what was happening, but, you know, I was making my potatoes, so I didn't take notes.
I feel that.
Understandable.
Listen, baked potato is the perfect dinner because it is cheap and easy and easy to reheat and microwave the next day. Mm-hmm. I also have been eating a lot of baked potatoes lately, completely divorced from Tim's influence. And I just refer to them as my dirt food. And I'm so excited to come back.
Well, we laugh about it because it's a convenient way to consume more dairy. So we have cottage cheese, we have cheese. And we have sour cream that all gets mixed with it, along with some elote seasoning and salt and pepper and butter. So it's a great time.
Hell yeah. That's
nice. Sometimes
it's winter food.
If we are, it's very much so. If we're on the ball, we will make bacon. But sometimes we forget because baked potatoes are very easy, but they take an hour and a half sometimes, and you can kind of accidentally get too high and start watching BoJack Horseman or Naruto or what have you.
Perfect.
So Kakashi gives them all a proud dad pep talk, and they finally enter the chunin exam.
We in it now!
Inside the test room are a bunch of tough-looking customers, as well as Sakura's hated rival Ino, who immediately macks on Sasuke.
Chaos.
The depressed...
Everything about them entering the room is so chaotic, and it stresses me out so much, especially for, like, what, the next two episodes? They're basically standing in front of this room of extremely menacing people. Mm-hmm. No one else in the room is saying a fucking word except for these babies talking about how great they are. And I'm just like, I'm so stressed out.
Yeah, and they all look like scary anime adults versus, you know. I know that, like, this crop of ninja are... young, and that's the whole thing of like all the various teams are entering, and that's kind of that seems to be weird. Meanwhile, you have like 27 year olds from who knows what village being like, all right, this is the year for old Gil. Old Gil's gonna, I'm gonna get it all. Last year was different.
Oh, God.
The like, they went into this being like, all right, we're gonna design these nine children as like very fun, very colorful. For the rest of the entrance, let's make them all look like murderers.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Let's cover them in spikes and leather.
Like the most menacing group of people they could gather. They put them here, and then they put the most like colorful, rambunctious six children amongst them.
Yeah, none of them are interesting, and any of them that do have like an interesting flair have like such a terrifying vibe to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like... Hey, Zabuza, we need your cousins for this scene. Like, friends and
family. Yes.
The depressed boy Shikamaru and the chip devourer Choji are there too. Naruto classifies them as different types of idiot.
Perfect.
Which is very good.
Yeah, we have a lot of intros right now.
Yeah, and it's like intros on people that we met 20 episodes ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Is Shikamaru your favorite character, Jesse?
Shikamaru is my favorite character, yes.
What a drag.
Honestly, a mood. Honestly.
Yeah, seriously. Hinata, the girl who is in love with Naruto and has milk eyes, is there too, along with her squad mates Kiba, a dog boy, and Shina, a weird dude with John Lennon glasses and love for Bug.
Mm. I like Kiba.
So much.
Kiba's, like, I love that Naruto's introduction for him is just like, this is Kiba. He's louder than I am, and that's almost impossible.
It's true.
Yeah, Bug John Lennon is a bit much. I think they could have cut his character, to be honest. I think when they introduced his Kekkei Genkai, I was like, all right. Can we have one person that's good at being a ninja, please?
I'm sorry. I hate Bug, so I have to hate Shino. It goes hand in hand. It is funny. He's very terrifying in Naruto.
Yeah.
And then later on, like, a goof. So, like, I do appreciate his character later on, but man, he's hard to be around these first years. I just hate Bugs. I'm sorry. I can't.
Our friend Josh Bigaman said that it's canonical that he has a large dick. Like, they mention it at some point in the show, but also I'm not quite sure which what his version of canon is real or not.
We have to have Josh Gaston explain that to
us. We honestly should.
We should. Yeah.
It's like he can summon deer ticks from anywhere. Like, he's terrifying.
No, thanks.
He can give you Lyme disease whenever he wants.
No, thank you.
They do some pre-test dunking on each other, which is a good razzing, always keeps the energy up. They get interrupted by Kabuto, an older leaf ninja who tells them to shut the fuck up for their own good. He has glasses, so you know he's smart.
I also hate Kabuto with my entire soul and being, so...
My note
his
is...
His name means helmet.
I love this sketchy dude with the cards.
Man, he pulls some Yu-Gi-Oh! Shit with the way he handles those cards.
Oh, like, yeah.
He's so extra with it.
He's like, I know.
12-year-old. You actually don't have to flex this hard, man. Like,
yeah.
It felt to me as if he knew he was in an anime, so he studied really hard. He's like, I'm going to be an exposition boy. I will not, you know, it's not a well-paying job, but it's a consistent and good-paying job. That it with yeah. not a lot of, you know, not a lot of competition.
You get some screen time. You get some
exactly
screen time.
Exactly.
He's the guy who puts on the Teletubby outfit and goes.
So Kabuto has taken the Chunin exam 7 whole times and has not passed yet, but he has some cool ninja baseball cards with information on the other exam takers. Kabuto loves stats and numbers and doing math. Fucking nerd.
Like, the nerdiest nerd of all time, right? Okay, think about this in, I don't know, real terms, right? It's like you trying to get your BAT or whatever, your bachelor's degree, and you have failed to get it 7 times, and mm-hmm. now you just hang out in class with your fucking Pokemon cards or whatever and quiz the other students.
Can I offer 180-degree counterpoint to this?
Okay, yes.
Kabuto is a drug dealer. And okay. he fails on purpose in order to sell knowledge drugs to kids. No, I like see the rest of my good. Time.
This is good.
Can you imagine, like, you want to be a lawyer and you go to the bar exam and some dude who's, like, 8 years older than you has little printouts of everyone who's taken
the exam. Hey, man! And then just gets fucking punched by a scary guy that no one knows who it is.
He tells the children about how the Chunin exam is supposed to be about building friendship between the different nations, but is actually about scoping out how tough the other village's ninjas are.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah. A little proxy war with children. Love to see it.
And 27-year-olds thrown in.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't Sasuke puke in front of the class, too. Oh, sorry. That's a butt ahead of time. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, he does. He froze up all his chalky milk. Sasuke asks for data about Gaara and Rock Lee. Kabuto does some real heart of the cards shit with his cards and dramatically pulls them out. It is finally Kabuto's turn to stunt, and this is the only way he knows how.
He's a drug dealer.
He's been practicing like his sleight of hand in the mirror for months.
100%.
I like that our opinions of this guy are completely different.
I know. Tim is like, no, he's hard up. Like, he's a drug dealer. Like, he's menacing. And I'm like, no, he's a fucking nerd and he sucks. And yeah, he carries his Yu-Gi-Oh cards around with him everywhere.
Yeah, when he gets punched later, I'm like, oh, okay. Because I thought he was selling them fake information. And it turns out he wasn't.
So. That would be kind of cool. Although, now that I'm thinking about it, if my weed guy did card tricks for me, I would fucking love
that. That's true. Yeah, fair.
If you had a weed man that just, like, pulled a nug out of your ear.
Just, like, the ability to... Even if a guy that can spin a card in a consistent way on a counter, that'd be fun. That'd be fun to look at. I don't care what type of card it would be.
True.
So it is Gaara and Rock Lee's first Chunin exam, so there's not that much data on them. But Gaara has been out here taking B-rank missions without a scratch on him.
Yum.
He's the tough boy.
He's beefy. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I didn't quite understand this at first, and then big deal was the bridge builder thing was a C-ranked mission, right?
Yeah.
And then they realized halfway through it would have been a B, right?
I think they said A.
Or an A.
Yeah. They said A?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's fine. But the fact that, like, he's done so many Bs, you know, you gotta give
it up. I think it's the fact that he has done so many Bs and he hasn't had a scratch on him.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's this dude's deal?
What a question.
I think I said this earlier, but like a friend of Jennifer has like a group of friends who would do anime things together. They went to, I think, Anime Tejas or something like that to meet the creator of Yuri on Ice. I don't think they were able to because the lines got capped out, but it was still a great weekend. But one of the folks there, they had, I think, a Gaara body pillow. And it's really fun, like a small one. God. Not like kind of like the one that's my Bakugo up here, smaller.
Oh, okay.
Not like a full sized.
Yeah, I was definitely imagining full size.
No.
3 foot
Yeah, just like a little.
I was like, maybe when he's older, but like.
It's says love on his face. I did tell, and also, sidebar, I did, I was like, Jennifer, check this shit out. What do you think his tattoo says? I don't know what she said, but when I told her it was love, she too did scream. So that was such a gift. But if this is going to be a consistent thing, and I've said it probably 17 times in the podcast so far, but how much people love characters that are introduced pretty quickly to the extent that they have pills of them. I'm like, this guy's lame. I don't know. Shit, whatever. I don't know. And I'm very excited to figure out why he's cool.
I am very excited for you to figure that out too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, big time.
It's going to be, I was listening to our episodes that came out. It's going to be a two cats off the couch scream.
Oh yeah.
That happens when you get in. When you get to his shit.
All right. I'm excited.
So there's a brand new village called the Sound Village who are kind of wild cards. Kabuto tells them that everyone in the room is high level and that they're probably going to get their asses kicked. Sakura thinks that Naruto is overwhelmed by the amount of beefy entries into the exam, but Naruto pulls a power move and screams at the entire room that he's not going to lose to them.
Well, I mean, truly a power move.
Everybody else is not impressed. Neji tells Lee that he should have bullied Naruto more. I laughed really hard at. I don't know if that was like a subtitle only one, but Neji is legit just like, you should have bullied him more.
Oh, you should have kept that kid in line.
So the Sound Ninja are pretty peeved about how Kabuto described their village, so they shoot extreme vertigo and fuck your glasses jutsus at him.
Yep.
This is when he puke.
Yeah.
How would you puke in front of class like kindergartner?
Yeah. This is when my this guy's a drug dealer theory was starting to break down a little bit. That being said, this sounds like he's what's the word? Like a glam drug dealer, not like hard shit, but like
okay,
like you know he's drug dealer
that does parties.
He's used to selling, like, diet pills to sophomore kids from college. And then he runs up accidentally to a cocainesman. And he's like, oh, no! So I feel... like, designer drugs, I think, is maybe the term I'm looking for.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Like, he had an extra script for Adderall.
Yes.
And selling them to girls he knows.
Yes, yes. He is 26 years old, and he sells Adderall to 20-year-olds exclusively.
The tense exchange is interrupted by a burly scarred dude who immediately calls them all degenerates. He is Ibiki Morino, this test proctor, and he is here to crush some children's dreams.
Yes. I like Ibiki a lot.
Yeah.
I like his whole vibe, his whole, like, aesthetic, large trench coat, you know.
Yeah.
It's good.
Like, He looks like if you ever go over to like a friend's house when you're younger and they have like a really intimidating dad who you're just terrified
yes!
of, but then once they crack like one joke and then you're just like, oh, I would die for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
That's a biggie.
I wish I had the joke. I remember going to a friend, I think his name was Andrew, and his dad was an Ibiki type, and he was his joke was that they wake up at 6 a.m., take a shower outside, run a mile, do this. And I didn't realize it was a joke because I was 8 or something. So after my parents left, I immediately called them, like, come back. Pick me up. I'm not gonna spend the night here. And I was like, and this is kind of a funny thing, too, if, like, my parents should have not been such pushovers. They should have said, stop being a fucking idiot who was joking. Stay there. And instead they picked me up like cowards.
Oh, that's so funny.
And that's why I suck today.
Oh my no. god.
Just let Ibiki make dad jokes.
Exactly. I'm such a weak piece of shit because Andrew's dad scared me with a cold shower.
I mean, shit, I would have been the same.
Oh my god.
Even to this day, I do not run unless I'm being chased.
Very true.
And even then, maybe not.
Yeah.
Just take me.
Episode 24, Start Your Engines. The tuning exam begins. Ibiki tells the Sound Ninjas to knock it the fuck off and that the examinees aren't allowed to kill or fight without permission. He also calls them pigs, which rules. He's the best. Time for the first test. They have assigned seating, and it is an actual paper test. Naruto's natural enemy.
I literally wrote down Naruto's one fear test.
Naruto, I know this might come up before and again. Naruto's so goddamn stupid.
Oh God.
He is not a fan. He's not a good test taker.
No. He is, you know, he's trying. Like I said at the very beginning of the episode, I relate to a panic test taker because that was me throughout all academia.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I also, I have all the questions translated and pulled up. I don't know if anyone's interested in that. Okay.
Sure.
Please.
All right. So question one, and they go from easiest to hardest.
Oh my God.
So let me see. Okay. Question one is for 30 points, which I also didn't realize they had so many points to work with at first either. I thought it was like 5 points a question, which
It
made it a lot more high stakes in my brain. But then I was like, oh no, they have like 100 points. Which makes sense because it's like a 100-point test. Anyways, it's actually not 100. You know what? I can't do math on the fly list. Don't pressure me. Okay. While protecting a VIP, which position of the formation should the target be protected, generally be placed in? Choose from the following. A, the front. B, the center. 3, the tail end. Okay.
Tail end.
I don't have the answers. Yeah.
So, oh shit!
Just have the question. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're good.
Question two was for 40 points. While facing an opponent possessing change in nature of fire and lightning, choose the ninjutsu attribute one can expect the best effect from the following options: A, wind style; B, earth style; C, water style. And then question three for 50 points.
Wind or
right, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember the little circle.
Nope, it's, yeah, gone from my mind.
Probably Earth, yeah.
It's okay. For 50 points, in a local battle, illustrate the merits and demerits in the case of attacking from high ground. Yeah, so they're all pretty hard, in my opinion.
Damn. That's like an essay question.
Yeah. They're definitely – that's the other thing that I think is important to realize. None of these are like multiple choice, like easy time cues. It's like write your answer, show your work. The worst kind of test question.
I was so good at those, except for I was really, 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 really bad at them because I would just answer like one sentence answers and then I turned my test in like an hour before I was supposed to. And my teacher's like, bro, you need to take a second pass. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I just sucked at all tests in general and always panicked.
No. See, I am that kind of asshole who I was a great test taker. I had it figured out at a young age and, like, I was one of those shitheads who didn't study until the night before and then just, like, barfed up all the knowledge onto the test and then I'm done, baby.
I envy you so much. The hours
very much same, Kim.
Studying. Oh, my. Both of you, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Jesse, to me, it was like multiple choice tests were so fucking easy because you would just look at them and obviously one was correct. Why would I waste time or stress thinking of the wrong answer? I would answer it mostly likely correctly and move on.
No, are you kidding? I would I would read the question, not understand the question. Read the question again. Okay, I don't know the answer. Mark it. Keep going. Okay, same process about 5 more times on a 20 question page. Okay, going back to the question I don't know. Sit there for 10 to 15 minutes staring at paper, then realizing I don't know the answer, but statistically I think C is the most correct answer most of the time, and then going in, filling in the C's. Okay, I have about 10 minutes left. Maybe I can pull a memory out of my ass somewhere for this. Go back again. All right, we're back in it. I think maybe this one is B. Change the answers. Turn it down.
See, I am Bastard and I'm a fast reader, so I wouldn't read any of the materials for the entire course until the night before, and I would just zoom through and be like, I'm good to go.
Oh my god.
So I slept. I missed most of my classes in college and I slept through the rest.
Oh my god.
I was a big slacker. I was the Shikamaru.
This isn't fair. I'm so sorry. Naruto throughout school. Are you kidding? Barely struggling along.
But we believe it. We believe in you. We believe
in you. Main character, bro.
I made it through eventually.
Yeah, so there are a bunch of ninjas posted up around the exam room to watch out for cheating. Hinata is next to Naruto and cheers him on, but Naruto legit did not notice her before she spoke. R.I.P. Hinata, I felt that.
Jesus.
Every time Naruto and Hinata have an interaction, it's so funny because he's always like, oh, Hinata, you're here. Would you look at that? Oh, Hinata, you're being weird again. So weird as always. Okay, I'm gonna go now.
The thing that I couldn't quite figure out is, like, does Hinata... I was like, obviously Naruto's stupid, but does Hinata have, like, stealth magic or something like that? I think about the way that Jennifer has described Kuroko no Basuke, of, like, one of the dudes, his, like, special basketball power is that people don't just... they don't see him. And so when he does a basketball, he just shows up. It's extremely stupid at a basketball court, but, like... apparently, Kuroko no Basuke is, like, just a magical basketball show. So you kind of throw with it. So in my brain, I was like, okay, Hinata has magic stealth powers where she can just suppress her essence. And not that Naruto's an idiot.
See, I think it's, like, the quiet girl in class.
Yeah.
Like, you just didn't notice that person.
For sure.
They just didn't stand out, and they're like... too close to normal, where they just blend into the wall, really. I think she has that.
I think Naruto loses all sense of object permanence when it comes to Hinata. Like, as soon as she's out of his line of sight, yes. He forgets she exists.
Yep. 100%.
He's not
always surprised to see her.
She is not ramen or milk to me, therefore.
Yes, exactly!
Naruto only know milk, ramen, and Sasuke.
Wait a second. Oh, I was like, okay, what was he doing with the milk? Was he pouring in his ramen? He was not. He was drinking the milk as a tasty beverage.
Yes.
Which I forget that sociopaths drink milk as opposed to only use it for coffee and cereal.
And, like, chunky milk, like, tangy milk, basically yogurt, like, bad yogurt. Beep, 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 beep. So they all start the exam with 10 points, and there are 10 questions on the test. For every problem they get wrong, they get a point deducted. Also, the pass or fail is team-based, so even if Sakura and Sasuke do well, if Naruto flunks, they're done for. Oops! Also, if you get caught cheating, you get 2 points deducted each time. Don't get caught, kids! Do your crimes carefully.
When Sasuke and Sakura stared through Naruto's back, I felt that.
Yeah,
I cannot imagine being in the position, Naruto. Oh god, I would have an actual breakdown.
Yeah. That sucks.
Lastly, there is a special last question that will be given 45 minutes into the test. Dang. All of the questions are some doctorate level shit that 12-year-olds have no fucking idea how to solve. It's got math, physics, cryptology, maps. Naruto falls headlong into a pit of despair.
I can't say this enough, but Naruto taking tests is me. Are you kidding? Me staring at blank page, looking at my future, and just being like, I can't do it.
Him reading with a pretty good positive attitude from the stars, like, okay, well, I don't know this one. Next one. Oh, man! This one's an order! Yeah. Okay, well, next one. Go! Is very, very funny and good.
He wants to keep believing it, but in the face of these fucking graduate school questions, he's just like, I fucking give up. I'm dead.
And are we supposed to, like, I know this is going into next episode of Naruto Review, but it seems like, oh, no, they explain it. Never mind. Sorry.
Oh, you're good? So Sasuke figures out this test is actually all about being sneaky enough to cheat without getting caught, you know, like a ninja. There are plants in the room with all the answers, and they've just got to effectively copy them. Neither Naruto or Sakura pick up on this.
Right.
Sakura's a buy the book kind of girl.
Yeah, and that was kind of my question of, like, we find out next up, like, couple episodes that there are some teachers taking the test, but and they're supposed to cheat off them. But the whole thing of, it sounds like Sakura is just like, I'm going to fucking answer these correctly. Let's go.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so cool. I don't think they spend enough time in the show saying that was the case, because the whole thing is that it is cheat test. So how do they get their answers? And we'll find out more next time. But, you know, the fact that Sakura is just like, fuck you. I'm a genius.
Yeah. Let's go. Yes, literally. Like, she's so smart and can just take the test without an issue. This teacher-ass level test.
Yeah.
He's like, no problem. I got this. Naruto is going to struggle, though. Whoops.
And it's so funny because both her and Sasuke are staring at Naruto. She's just like, don't you dare fucking cheat. Don't you dare fucking cheat. I will break your neck. And Sasuke's just like, come on, Naruto. Come on. Pick it up. You got to figure out how to cheat.
It's pretty obvious you got to cheat.
Truly the, like, angel and devil on Naruto's shoulders.
Yes.
Gaara uses a sand eyeball to peep.
God.
Kiba uses the talk to your dog strategy.
Oh my god.
Konkuro uses scary puppet.
Oh my god.
One of the sound ninja uses listen very hard.
Oh my god.
Shino uses bug. Tintin uses a mirror that honestly someone should have noticed.
Okay.
Stop the show. Cool, I have to
stop it. Everyone shut the fuck up.
Okay.
To date.
Everyone should have been caught. In my opinion, Tintin's mirror. I go to bed thinking about Tintin's mirror. I don't understand it. I have tried with all of my brain power to understand it, and I cannot. How did she get it up there?
Yeah.
In a stealthy way? Was it pre-established? Did she, like, know walking in? How does Rock Lee know to adjust his fucking headband behind her? Were they passing notes? Was this a pre-existing knowledge before they walked into the room? She's actively adjusting the fucking mirror during the test with wires. No one is noticing.
With the same level of care and attention paid in the show as man who teleports his eyeball and lady who turns other lady into puppet. It's kind of funny because I was like, okay, well, maybe at episode 300, Tintin busts out some fucked up mirrors, and then therefore I'm like, okay, I'm ashamed of my words and deeds for the tune-in exam cheat test. Does not appear to be the case.
No.
Nope.
Unless in Boruto, she says.
She's been playing the long con.
Yeah.
Finally in Boruto, she's just like, here's my secret power.
Yeah.
Mirror.
I don't know, man. I think, broadly speaking, all of this sucks. I don't think it does anything good. I don't know. I'm not smart, but, like, the whole idea that all these fucking 13-year-olds have these hellish powers. I don't know. I mean, it's just such a power creep of going from Sasuke has a Sharingan because he's from fucked up murdered village. That's something, right? That's he has a thing that is rare and everyone else that has it is dead. Why does Kakashi have it? Okay. Haku and Zabuza are fucking freaks. They can do their thing, whatever. Introducing people that are but 6 months older than Squad 7, people that are the foils, blonde Sakura fucking mind melds, turns her into a puppet, is so fucked up with all of the, like, without even taking a short jaunt off the path of, like, how extremely fucked up this would be if it wasn't for, you know, if it wasn't that another girl had it that was not a sociopath. And then, you know, you have all this other, like, how are there that many families with Kekkai Genkai in the Leaf Village. You know, sure, these sand beat boys are really weird. Very, very weird. But yeah, the whole thing, like the crow bit is like, that didn't feel as bad because it's kind of like, that feels like such magic that I also, that's when I kind of thought that when the proctors caught you cheating, if you cheated good enough, they're like, all right, buddy. Because there's 0% chance in the world they saw fucking Puppet Boy and they're like, oh, that's not Dave. I don't know a Dave. Why would I say that's not Dave? I don't know a single Dave. So I'd like to think that they're grading on a curve, which is if you cheat boldly enough, you're fine. But still, it's very good as a introduction to how banana pancakes all of this, like I assume the show's going to get. But still, I think this is why we're getting into information fatigue, power fatigue, which I think is why Jennifer and I kind of slowed down. Because starting from this point, it gets pretty much ruining the base knowledge that we have from Squad 7.
See, here, some quick little notes. So, all of these, like, powers that people, like the become a puppet jutsu, the soul swap jutsu, those aren't Kekkai Genkai.
Okay.
Neither is your boy Kiba talking to his dog. Like, all of those are familial techniques that have been passed down and is, like, very specific to those families. Yeah. And because they're ninja secrets, like, their kids are the only ones.
Okay. So they're not Kekkai Genkai, but they're, like, gotcha. Yeah.
It's like mages choosing their route of magic, literally. Like, oh, I want to be a druid. Oh, I want to be a potion master, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, a Kekkai Genkai person's like a lich or something.
Okay, gotcha. Like,
crazy, off the charts, so.
It's like something inborn instead of something that they had to learn.
Yeah, and it's less that the way they did it was bad. It's more, I have consumed other media that did bad, and I don't know how one, as a consumer of various types of shows and things, what is acceptable to be like, okay, this is a bit much, you need to slow down, versus like, okay, let's assume that they're going to introduce way too much too early, but they're going to pay it off in the end, which I think is what I'm not giving them the benefit of the doubt for. Because, you know, I'm still like 110% bought in, and watching it a second time is better for sure. But still, it's just like so much is happening. It's like not everyone needed this, like all these weird magic powers. But that being said, if we go in throughout the rest of the show, and I'm sure listeners who have watched more than these episodes are like, Tim, you fool, you stupid baby.
So, I will say, I think this part is really important to basically avoid what just happened in the Zabuza arc, where they have to spend half the time explaining what the other person's power is, where they are going to go into the fights now with pre-established powers.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And I think it is, it's a lot at first for sure, because you're getting introduced to 20 new characters with 20 individual powers, and it's hard to keep track of it all. And they kind of just throw it all at you willy-nilly. But then, like, now, in the second part of the training exam, it's, like, fight time. So it's going to be people fighting each other, and I don't think they wanted to introduce powers during those fights, because the next part is supposed to be really fast moving. And I don't think they wanted that to drag the time down. This is my head theory on why they chose to, like, do it this way. Oops. Also, they did mention that they are grading on a curve. They were like, we're professionals. We saw you cheat. But if you were good enough, like, we would knock you for it.
Gotcha. Ibiki says,
oh.
No, you go ahead.
Basically, Ibiki says, like, if you sloppily cheat, that's what we're going to
do. Okay, gotcha.
And
I definitely don't want, you know, you two nor the listeners to think that I'm coming from a point where I think I'm right. I'm just reacting because it is sort of it is a different situation from other shows that we've done podcasts of where I did think I was right. you know, this is not me. I'm not trying to convince anyone. You know, and it simply would take you guys saying no to be like, okay. And, you know, it's like I'm not even saying that they should have done these episodes better, whatever that means. I'm saying this is the fear, and we were bored, even though objectively banana pancake shit is happening in these episodes and the next 10 or so episodes. It's not that like nothing's happening; it's just that there's too much happening. That being said, you know, it could have been worse, and it is really cool to hear that you guys are explaining how it's actually. we are struggling now so that later that we can Naruto run through wonderful fights.
And honestly, to me, I remember the first time I watched this, the reason why this scene in particular I had so much fun with is because they all have a common problem, mm-hmm. but it's really fun to see the different ways that they approach it. Mm-hmm. That lit my little ass up. Yeah. I was super fucking hype about it. I was like, now what are they gonna do?
Totally.
And when fucking Kankuro is just like, I gotta go pee-pee, and he takes his puppet with him, and it's the reveal that just like, he's not a proctor, he's a guy that, he's a puppet. I was just like, oh shit, because the skin on the little fake proctor's face starts cracking off, and you just see a terrifying puppet eye.
Yeah. who gave this 14-year-old this... a puppet juice? I don't like it. I need some oversight is what I'm trying to say.
Naruto, however, is losing it. Hinata offers to let him cheat because she is in love with him, but Naruto just thinks she's trying to trick him.
Oh god, this is such a good moment. Naruto's test taking power is my own, where you just panic the whole time, and then Hinata literally being like, bro, I got you, and like slipping the sheet over to him, and then him being like, oh my god, she's trying to trick me. Like, Hinata, of all the people, is trying to trick me. And then him literally arguing with himself of like, no, Hinata wouldn't trick me. I can't trust her and cheat off of her, but I won't.
It's so funny. Just as he's about to look at her paper, one of the judges throws a kunai at an examinee who failed. The judges aren't fucking around. Naruto gets too spooked to cheat. Sakura is actually just a genius and is able to answer all the questions herself. Ino calls her Mega Mind and then uses her mind transfer jutsu to peep at her answers.
And Ino just carries her entire team too, because she doesn't just do Sakura. She also possesses Shikamaru and Choji and writes in all the answers for them. Her power is very, very cool. And I'm happy it was utilized in this test to such a degree.
Again, I guess it, in my brain, I was going to say having this power is just too much for teens to have. Not even teens, for preteens to have. But I guess if, like, theoretically she can only possess preteens, she cannot possess adults, then maybe, you know, here we are. Teens are stupid, kids. I don't think they should be having crows or megamines or... or bugs or eyeball powers. That is Tim Lanning, you know. Because, you know, you think about the good teens like Sakura or who have you, but, you know, Naruto is eventually going to get these powers, and we're all fucked if that happens.
Oh, man.
That's why you got to teach your kids responsibility.
That is true. And then punch them in the fucking face if they use Megamind wrong or they disrespect Turtle Grandpa.
People are dropping like flies. Naruto decides to just bet everything on being able to answer the last question.
Idiot. Fool. I love him. This was so stressful.
I would have left the room if I was in this position 100%.
Yeah. I don't want to... I said a few negative things about this episode, but on the whole, I thought it was very good, and it made... a wonderful little bit of clips for Naruto and Sasuke and Sakura, you know, sort of cutting back and forth between please cheat, please don't cheat, please don't be an idiot, yada yada. It was wonderful and good.
It was a lot of fun.
It's a fun episode because like you are getting inundated with information, but like when I watched it when I was a kid for the first time, it was so cool to see everyone's powers and be like, oh, this guy has a whole eyeball, and then this guy just uses sound. Like it was, and then Tenzin's mirror, which I haven't stopped thinking about for 20 years, but yeah.
Oh, speaking of Gaara's little eyeball, Gaara has blue eyes, but the eyeball had brown eyes. Whose eye is that?
I noticed that this time too, and I forgot to write it down, but I was also right. wait, what? But you know what? It might be spoiler's eyes.
Ah, yeah. Dang. Shit.
What are you guys talking about?
It's a spoiler. We are not allowed to talk about it.
No, we're not allowed to talk about it.
But Jesse just blew my mind a little bit. Because I was just like, who the fuck's eye? Like, where did you get that from? Did you find that on the ground?
He just has it in his pocket.
Yeah, just like, drop it.
Stop picking up ground eyeballs. You grasp him by his little jaw.
Yeah, gotta pick him up by the scruff like a kitty cat.
Oh my god.
Tell him no. Yucky.
Oh boy.
Gaara, that's yucky.
Gaara, yucky. These teens, I'll tell you the fuck. These preteens, I'll tell you the fuck what. They should not have these WMDs of powers. I sure hope. I'm going to watch two episodes of Boruto to calm my shit.
It is very fun because I have never seen it through Tim's eyes of, wow, they're letting 12-year-olds have these incredibly destroying powers, and they're just, they can run rampant with them.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking about it, I'm like, wow, that's a lot, that's a lot to handle. My only defense against that is all the adults have superpowers too, so maybe they're easy to counter the teens, but like, some of them are so sneaky. Like, Eno's is sneaky.
Yeah. Eno's is so problematic in a, if this exists, like, if her ancestor was a 12-year-old boy in the way that we know 12-year-old boys to be, it's so horrific to spend but a moment on.
I would simply use the soul swap jutsu to become a cat because that seems really fun.
Sure, and not going to the showers or whatever.
I would simply lick my own butt.
Oh boy, this potato seems happy. Let me soul swap with potato. Oh no, the dream.
Yeah, I would soul swap with someone about to eat a delicious fucking churro.
It's like, Kim, we know that we taught you this in confidence, but you keep soul swapping with churro eaters. You sit inside the Sam's Club or Costco, and all you do, you keep swapping out forever. We will buy you hot dogs in a Costco membership if you'd like it.
It's how I can eat pizza all day, but never personally gain weight.
I've never thought about it this way, but holy shit, now I want Eno's power more than anything in my fucking life. Are you kidding?
I'm going to stand outside an expensive restaurant and soul swap with someone about to chow down on filet mignon.
I was thinking we go to Epcot during Food and Wine Week and just get fucked up.
Yes! Oh my god!
Just be like a horrible ghost possessing people as they eat.
It's like, well, I thought I ate, but I didn't taste anything. But this weird goblin child behind me is dancing around and rubbing their belly. All right.
Oh, so that about does it. Any final thoughts or goofs on these three episodes?
No. I covered all the goofs.
Yeah, you know, I enjoyed these three episodes. I thought that on the whole, it's introducing us to the whole wide world, and anything negative I say, I don't think is gospel. I want to say that again. And I'm very excited, very, very excited to see what else is in the store, even though I know a little bit, but we are getting close to being caught up with what I watched a year or two ago. So I'm very excited, very excited.
Yay! Well, where can we find you guys?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jusifers, J-U-S-I-F-E-R-S.
And you can find me on Twitter at Tim Lanning. That's where you can find my various tweets, maybe times when I'm streaming various video games or tabletop role-playing games, such as Greetings Adventurers podcast, which streams every Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, or the Happy Hell Hour, which streams every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/geeklyinc.
You can find me screaming about anime on Transformation Sequence. That is the Geekly Inc. Anime podcast that is sponsoring Naruto Revuto. It's me, my buddy Vince, and my hot husband Ben talking about anime. If you enjoy stupid goofs like turning into a cat and licking your own asshole, you will enjoy that show.
It's a very good show. Please check it out.
Yes. And did I say where you could tweet at me?
I don't think so.
I don't remember. Yeah, you can find me at Kim Cattis. That's at K-O-I-M-C-A-T-T-Y-S. To read... Take so bad they will give you worms.
Yeah, so all I do is rant about Egg Dog on mine, so.
Yes! Egg Dog good!
Egg Dog good. Egg Dog saves me from depression.
You could soul swap with Egg Dog. Ooh, you can be yes. Egg Dog.
In the life of Egg Dog!
If you soul swapped with Naruto, do you think you would just be like, hell yeah, I'm so stupid and happy? God, this rules.
You can just feel your brain smoothing out like a stone in a river.
Perfect.
All right. So, believe it.
Oh, yeah, we forgot the sign off at the beginning of the show. Okay, believe it.
Believe it.
Oh, shit. You can also tweet at us at Naruto.
Yes. Oh, yeah, let's plug the show.
Yeah. Stupid. You can find us on Instagram at Naruto Revuto. I don't know our email address.
NarutoRevuto@gmail.com.
Hell yeah! Only send nice things.
Only send nice things. Thank you to the people that have emailed already. It has been so sweet.
Mm-hmm. It's my favorite thing to wake up in the morning to 3 a.m. emails that are saying nice things.
Yes! That's just me for my alt accounts. Oh.
That's good too. I'll take it.
Sasuke.
Hi everyone, I'm Jessie and I'm also your panicked test taker. I'm gonna die.
You can do it again. You can do it again.
I have to do it again. Okay, wait. I didn't write it down.
I'm your resident panic test
taker. Oh, what was that? That was the word resident? That I was. I subbed resident for also and then panicked and then and then I accidentally said taste instead of test, so it's
hey,
good.
Hey, I'm Jesse, comma, your resident panicked test taker.
Okay, I got this.
It's fine.
I'm sorry I have like the most panic energy
love it.
Of all time.
And do you want Kim to reintroduce you or just want to do it?
Yeah. Oh, whatever works. Whatever works best.
What are you most comfortable
What do you want?
With?
I'll just do it, yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hell yeah. And yet...